Second Corinthians in chapter 4. We want to continue this morning looking at the subject of faith. My walk of faith. Second Corinthians in chapter 4. And I read from verse 13. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. It reads, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak." Notice, "we having." Now, this passage was taken primarily from the book of Psalms, Samuel 16 and verse 10. I want you to notice how the psalmist said it. This is David speaking as a prophecy. He says, "I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted." So the first phrase was speaked. So Paul is telling us something important, and that's the fact that this is a prophecy that was not fulfilled in the days of David. It was fulfilled in our days. So Paul says, "We having that same spirit," that spirit that was promised, that spirit that was spoken of through the mouth of Paul, sorry, mouth of David, say, "We having that same spirit of faith, according as it is written." Now, when you say "according as it is written," you're also saying now it has been fulfilled. We having. And you notice that phrase, "having," "we having," is common throughout all the epistles. So when it comes to the revelation of Christ in the epistles, the major focus is on what we have. And the reason is because our minds need to be reconciled to the reality of what it means to be a believer. Because a believer is somebody who has believed. It's an irreversible position. It's not something that can change. It's the work of God. Hallelujah. You are the work of God. Say, "I'm the work of God." So you are God's work. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14. See how David said it? Chapter 3. Okay, see what it says. "I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should reverence him." I know if it's God that did it, it shall be how long? Forever. Hallelujah. So we having the same spirit of faith is Paul, so to speak, putting that prophecy in the right perspective, informing us that you already have that spirit of faith. So when we go back to Mark 11, which has been our major text in this series, looking at our walk of faith, because again, the average believer, because of situations and circumstances, there's a tendency for you to think that I need faith. I want faith. My faith is not enough. I need to go and get more faith. But then in the light of scriptures, how you feel and your experiences need to be subjected to the authority of God's word. Interestingly, we all feel the same way. So where there's a difference is in what we know when it comes to revelation of Christ. And that's why when we see people which realize praying for revelation, you know they don't have a clue about what God has accomplished in Christ Jesus. Because if you know what he has, if you have a glimpse, just a small glimpse of it. You know, several years ago, Dr. Kenneth Egan, before he went on to glory, he spoke about a particular situation where he was praying in the spirit. And while he was praying concerning two or three different situations. And while he was praying, the Lord Jesus appeared and told him, well, according to certain circumstances, this particular individual was supposed to pass on. But because you asked me, I will extend the life. That means if God doesn't intervene, this person will die at a particular. He said, but because you asked me. Then he was going in turn and said that, how I wish my children would ask me for more. It's as though there was a limitation in how much he could do. Not because of availability of power, but because of our asking. Because our asking is fueled by our understanding of what he has done. So you notice all the Pauline letters usually begin with prayer for revelation. Do you see that? So usually when we come together as a church and we pray, why do we pray more for that? Because that's really where the issue is. The believer doesn't lack power. The church doesn't lack power. There is exceeding greatness of his power. Power that is beyond what is required for every situation is what is backing every believer today. That's what the Bible says. Which God accomplished when he raised Jesus from the dead. So you can't exhaust the power of God made available for you. You cannot exhaust it. Years ago, I had a story, I'm sure some of us have read it, about a missionary that went to, came to Africa. So he went into those very vicious tribes. And as you're going through from one colony to the other, you will discover certain groups of people, they have a different culture, a different way of living their life. So he said that while he was going, the village where he was working as a missionary, a young lady was kidnapped from that lady by the neighboring village. So, and they had a culture, they knew that if they don't get to that village before nightfall, that's the end. She's gone. They will never recover again. So they set out on a mission to go to that village. So they carried trinkets, beads, and things like that that would impress them. So he took it to that village. This is not in my illustration at all, but let me just follow the Spirit of God. So he then went to their village. When they got there, he took a few locals with him. And Ian, two other missionaries, went together to that village. So when they got there, the king, at the entrance of the village, the first challenge they faced was that they saw rotting meat hung at the entrance of the village. Now, as a sign of goodwill and acceptance, you must take out of the rotting meat. If you don't, it will be declared an hostile activity towards you, that you're not welcome. Now, this is rotten meat. So, they remembered Mark chapter 16. They shall take any deadly thing, shall not what? Okay. It was necessary. They had to go through it. So, they cut a piece, they ate it. And they went in the village. So, they discussed. The king accepted trinkets and said, okay, it's already late. Tomorrow morning, you can take the lady and take her back. But in the middle of the night, they suddenly started hearing drum beats. So he asked the locals, what does that? There was an ominous sound about drum beats. What does that mean? He said, that means we're dead. So the king was, I realized that I can keep the trinkets and keep the lady. I don't need to release any. He must have realized. He said, actually, that means men are coming towards us now to kill us. This missionary said that they use this knife called a bolo knife. One lick, your head is off. Is that sharp? So he said, there's no point waiting for them to come and meet us. Let us go outside and face them. And let's just pray. He said, they stepped out. They saw this huge man coming. They closed their eyes to pray. And that's the last thing they remembered. Because suddenly when they opened their eyes, they said, you know, when you're about to die, you don't know how long. 2 minutes may look like 2 hours have passed. He said, when they opened their eyes, all the huge men that came with knives were bowing down before them. So he asked Lucas, what are these things? He said that they are saying you are gods. They are saying you are gods. So later when he interpreted what happened, they said that when you came out to pray, they saw two huge beings, taller than any man, with swords, standing by you. And said, the only gods can have this kind of guards. So they treated them and they worshipped. Now, here's where I'm going. That was the power of God at work to save and preserve lives. Now, in another village, there was a missionary who was meant to be asleep. She could not sleep. She fell asleep 3 times, but still woke her up. Until she started to kneel down and began to pray. She didn't know she was praying for them. Now, God wanted to rescue them, like he always wants to rescue every single... See, when you see a believer that stops saying the will of God, may God forgive you. Now, when I say the only time it can be the will of God is when that believer also decides, I want to go. It can be difficult to stop a believer from dying who wants to go. It can actually be a tough job. Because your prayer will not always work. There are circumstances where your prayer can work to prevent that believer from being. The believer makes up their mind. They want, they are like, anything, they are tired. You can pray that strength will come. You can pray that confidence will come. But if they decide to go, it can be tough. Hallelujah. So, because concerning you, you have all rights in prayer. Concerning others, you don't have blank check in prayer. But you can pray and supply the Spirit. So, this missionary was being prayed for another missionary, and that prayer released ministry of angels. The question is, did God want to deliver them? Yes. But somebody needed to pray. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Now, here's where I'm going. What power were they counting on? The exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him where? At his own right hand. The angels needed that power to execute God's will and God's plan. But the believer is a custodian of that power. Amen. You understand that? So, were the missionaries in faith? Yes. Were they in hostile territory? Yes. Did they require power? Yes. So, there is no lack of power when the believers go. There's also no lack of faith. Glory to God. So, Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3, Let's read from verse 4, because Paul begins to say something important. Ephesians 3, let's read. He said, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Let's start from verse 2, please. I want to say one or two things. See what it says. It says, verse 2, if you've heard of the stewardship of the grace of God, which has been given to me towards you, or for your sake. Look at what Paul says. He said, how that by revelation, it mean not unto me what? The mystery. What is he calling mystery? The promises and the prophecies spoken by the Old Testament prophets in the Holy Scriptures. You understand? Those, he calls it the mystery. He said, when you see those prophecies and those promises, that's actually the mystery of Christ in hidden form. That's Christ being spoken of. Everything God said, I will, that's Christ being revealed by the Father. Say amen? So he says, how that, but it may not mean, as I wrote that for in a few words, you know what's calling a few words? You know, chapter 1 and chapter 2, that you can study for a year, it's a few words, amen? He says, so when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, yep, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and what prophets by the Spirit. Next verse. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, so that they can participate in the promise in Christ by the gospel. Here, verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by what? The effectual working of his power. That's Paul calling your attention to that. Through the resurrection of Jesus, he ascended on high and he gave gifts to men. Or he gave men as what? Gifts. The resurrection made men gifts to other men. So the resurrection power is what made Paul an effectual minister to convey what was once a mystery as a revelation to the church. See what it says again. Now verse 8. It says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable what? Riches of Christ. Next verse. And to make all men see. So how do men see when Paul is preaching? As he's announcing, the Spirit of God is at work to open the eyes of men who are blind. As Paul is preaching. So the preaching is where the power is. The preaching is a tool of the Spirit to open the eyes, but the preaching has to be done before there can be opening of eyes. So there's nothing to work with when the message hasn't gone forth. The sound has to go forth. As the sound goes forth, the Spirit of God is using that sound to open ears and to open eyes. Hallelujah. Are you following? So see what it says now. It says, from the beginning it was hid in God who created all things. By what? Jesus Christ. Remember John's Gospel chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, and the Word was, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were what? Made by him. That's what he's talking about here. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And life is what? The light of men. So he created all things by Jesus Christ. Or he created all things with Jesus in mind. Listen. He didn't create the tree by Jesus Christ. He created those things with Jesus in mind. Jesus is the one that gives meaning to the creation of God. So creation did not have meaning until Jesus came to redeem creation. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so you didn't come during the week. If you are coming during the week, we have been on the same page. The teachings we are having on our prayer and fasting, you will have understood. So next verse. Verse 10. So to the intent that now, say now, unto the principalities and powers in the heavenlies might be known by the church the word, the manifold wisdom of God. Yeah? According to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with what? Confidence by the faith of him. Yep. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you. So Paul says, the sufferings I'm suffering, the challenges I'm facing, they cannot be compared with the assignment I've been given. There's an assignment. This revelation has to be known. This mystery has to be proclaimed. Men have to come to this light. He says, so for this cause, I bow my knee. So what Paul wants to convey to you and to me requires prayer. It is so anti-man's thinking that you require understanding supernaturally to comprehend it. It's so anti. Man is schooled in lack. He doesn't have this one. I don't have this one. I don't have this one. Jesus is teaching in the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall what? Be satisfied. Who are the poor in spirit? Those who don't have the reality of the resurrection. Those who don't have eternal life. So Paul is saying, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. that I will grant you. Okay? Thank you. So this is the kingdom of God. So he said, he will grant you, he will grant you, he will grant you, he will grant you. What is he granting? That's what to give you. The giving there is not the spirit. The giving is revelation of the spirit. That is, you already have. Now, receive comprehension concerning what you have. Say, I have faith. I have power. I have life. I have strength. I have the might of Christ working in me mightily. Why do we have gatherings that thrive on people asking for what God has already given? Because it suits man. I won't even blame the ministers. Man just likes it. Men find it difficult to complain that you mean God has given all. If I didn't ask you, so where then are we praying? Because they think prayer is asking for God to do something. No, no, you can also pray for what God has done to be manifest. Hallelujah. If you go to a bank, for instance, and a particular check hasn't kept, well, is in process, and they say maybe there's an ECOP, you are not going to write another check. You are going to talk to the management about the particular check already in process to be processed. What's stopping? They tell you, you make adjustments, the check comes through. But you are not asking for the person that sent the check to send another, isn't it so? So the same when it comes to what God has given, he says it requires prayer. It requires prayer. So that's why we pray. Because when you're praying and you're studying those two activities, the more your eyes open to see, the bolder you are when it comes to using your faith. You already have faith. You don't need more faith. You may need more faith in expression. But more faith in expression is not a function of getting more faith. It's getting more knowledge concerning the faith that you have. Because when you know you have faith, all you now need to know, how do I get my faith to work? In what areas can I use my faith? But if you're still thinking, I need faith, it means you don't believe you are a believer, because you are a believer. Hallelujah. Go into all the world and preach gospel to every creature. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not is damned. And this sign shall follow those that believe, or the believing one. So your status now in Christ is you are a believing one. Say, I'm a believing one. Say, I've already believed. I don't need to believe again. I've already believed. So the signs that follow, you don't believe for the signs. The signs follow because you have already what? Believed. So the signs are with you. Pastor, I'm not seeing the signs. Oh, that's a different matter entirely. You are not seeing it and God hasn't done it. They're not the same thing. They're not the same thing. You are not seeing it and God hasn't done it. Where do you labor? You labor in study and in prayer. So your eyes can be open to see. So when we pray now, more of what is happening, two things. We in prayer channel power. We in prayer also open up ourselves to revelation and understanding of what the Father has done. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you see that? So it Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees in prayer. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. When you hear Paul says the Father of our Lord Jesus, he says, I mean the one that raised him from the dead. How did God become the Father of our Lord? When he raised him from the dead. So if he has raised him, I'm praying in the light of the resurrection. That's what Paul is saying. I'm praying in the light of resurrection. That which God has done that cannot be reversed. That which God did to ultimately show you that he loves you forever. That's the resurrection. I'm praying in that light. That now, that is a reality. As I pray, I'm praying that you will comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length, what is the height and the depth, so that you may know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you want, ask or think, according to what? The power that worketh where? Where's the power? Where's the power? Glory to God. Your life will change. No, you can believe God and place this on your pillow and sleep. That when you wake up, power will be there. It has become mantle. But how did it become mantle? It's because you are a living mantle. But you are not conscious of it. So your faith is not working there because you are not conscious of it. There's a consciousness that comes. Consciousness is a function of knowledge. What you are aware of. See, don't tell me you cannot be conscious of whatever you want to be conscious of. You can be. You can be. There are people who are conscious of superstitious beliefs. If you go to my village when they're doing so and so festival, that's your consciousness. If you go there, many people don't survive. It's a consciousness. It's not because they have power to kill you. That is what you have believed. And you were, somebody gave you that knowledge. Now, if you believe it, how do you know? Because you're acting on it. You never go to your village in October. You wait till January. You go to first, why will be over? Because you, that means you believe, so you are acting out. Now, the same way you can be persuaded, there's power everywhere you look. You can be. You can persuade that these hands are not ordinary hands because they are not ordinary hands. And your boasting will be right. It will be scriptural. Glory to God. So there is a practice of your faith, which is a function of knowledge. Hallelujah. It's a function of knowledge. That's what causes you to say what you say. Again, why are you not saying? You know, Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he said. So look at it this way. The fig tree dried up. They saw the fig tree the next day. Mark chapter 11. From verse 20, Jesus answered them because they were surprised. Jesus wasn't surprised. Jesus did not go back to look at the fig tree. It was Peter that went to look at the fig tree. It was Peter that was telling Jesus, Master, the fig tree which you cursed is dried up from the roots. That means when he was saying it, they were like, he has come again. He's even talking to trees now. What's your business with this tree now? Let's just go. He got to the temple. He brought whip. Drove out all the animals. He didn't touch any man with the whip. Just drove out all the animals. So they were used to just talking to things because he has talked to stone before. But now he's talking to tree. How do you know they didn't really expect anything to happen? Because the next day they were astonished. Because you know, when he spoke, nothing happened that they could see. But something was happening. In the unseen part of the tree, which nobody could see. So the next day, 12 hours after, there was a level of manifestation. Jesus didn't bother to hear because he knew what will happen when he speaks. You know, when you know how faith works, there will be economy of speech. You won't talk too much. There will be economy of speech. You won't waste your words. You will not engage in certain kinds of conversation because you understand that I'm releasing something consciously. You'll be conscious about when you release. It's a consciousness. Hallelujah. It's a consciousness. We use this in everyday life. Even the grace of God the minister carries, he uses this same principle to minister that grace. Men prophesy according to the proportion of faith, which is how much revelation do you have of the workings of the grace of God in you that makes you say and speak certain things. I've been several meetings outside, months after, a week after, 2 months after. These are people I'm not so familiar with. Call me on Facebook, sir. What you said came to pass exactly. I didn't even remember what I said. But the person came in the meeting. Some of them come deliberately to the meeting, just come and meet me. In the meeting, while the meeting is going on, because they have an expectation, I'm not aware that they came with an expectation. I'm just ministering, so I just point to them. I say something not in line with the teaching at all. I minister. Why am I able to minister? It will prophesy according to proportion of what? Faith. A phone call. A simple statement. The results can be amazing. Hallelujah. So even when it comes to grace of God, we dispense with the faith that's already present. How do you use faith? Whosoever shall say. So the question is, why are you not saying? You don't know enough to say. Or you know enough for the wrong thing. The way this year is going, it's tough. Only God can save us. As things are going now, we may not be able to eat again next year. You know? You know, you are engaging your mouth in the wrong thing. Have you heard how much you are selling cars now? Hey, maybe it's Keke we'll be using. Now, listen. Those things are going on all around. Listen carefully. I think it was Dr. Charles Capps that said that one day he was praying and the Spirit of God told him that, I told my people they can have what they say, but they are saying what they have. You see, man is creative in the wrong thing. They are busy turning the process around. I said they can have what they say. They are busy saying what they have. There is no principle that says you say what you have. They say it like it is, but that's not how it is. That's how it appears to be. There's a difference in how it is, and you are not lying. Listen, I'm not talking about those who say things like, Pastor, I'm very, very strong. If you are strong, be jumping up. You are not feeling fine, sir. I'm not feeling fine, but I believe I'm healed. That's what faith says. Faith doesn't say, no. I'm not feeling anything. No, you are feeling. That's why you sometimes go for a test to know. Sometimes you go for a test to know what the issue is so you can know what to use your faith for. I have two students for you. I mean, you have exam tomorrow morning. Today. You are confessing. The time you are confessing, you should be studying. You cannot study because your head is almost full. You know, you cannot malaria that. You cannot even see well. You can't see the pages of your book. You are seeing men like as trees walking. What do you do? I'm a pastor. I'm practical. I know you don't have time at that point. That's not the time to do super faith. I tell you, young man, young lady, take Panadol. Then I will pray for you. Then go and study. Because when the symptoms die down, even your confession is there to say, I'm in the middle of there are less issues fighting you. When the symptoms are down, you can focus more on your faith and you cannot use something. Not when I say it's like, not when you're feeling like, it's like the more I say it, the more the headache is increasing. Something's already fighting your mind. So you are now thinking, so, like someone said there, is either the confession of faith takes away every symptom or you allow the symptom to take away the confession of faith. It's your choice. That's why before there's a storm, there's a speaking a believer in Gagizin consistently. Before there's a storm, nobody builds a house successfully in the storm. There's no storm. You don't wait for a storm. It's not because of a storm. It's because you know this is what has been made available for you. I have healing. I have health. I have wholeness in Christ Jesus. You're saying that. You don't need to wait until you're not feeling fine to say that. Hallelujah. You're using your faith. And when you're saying it, what are you saying? You're saying out of the abundance that God has made available for you. It's yours. Say healing is mine. Say wholeness is mine. Hallelujah. A sound believer will look ahead and pray in the spirit and suddenly will come and say, the next 50 years, I'll be standing firm and strong, walking around doing God's will. You won't speak with those who are saying things like, life expectancy in Nigeria is now under 60 years of age. May God help us. You said nothing. You only dissipated power in the wrong direction. What should you be saying? I will see my children's children's children in sound health. When it's time to go, I will call on them, pray for them, bid them goodbye. I won't tell them, on Sunday, I'll be passing on. Somebody said, Pastor, is that possible? It's possible. Paul said, I have a desire to depart. Which one will I choose? Let me stay a bit longer. You guys need me. That's death, though. Death, as long as like, we don't even know what God is. God is not used to do anything. You decide the exceeding greatness of his power. We have a choice. See, have a choice. Concerning issues of life. I have mastery in Christ Jesus. I'm victorious in the Son of God. Glory to God. So learn now to, because one of the reasons why we're doing praying and fasting is because, listen, you can write down confessions. That's fine. I advise it. But even while you're praying, if you really pray, some words will be given to you to say. Say them. Declare them. Two things are happening. When those words rise up, you are also learning what God has in store for you. You write them down. Then you say them because you're really faith. Whosoever shall say. So the Father doesn't just supply faith. He even supplies you words that you're going to say. But he can't say them for you. He can't say them for you. You have to say them. Your saying it is your full acceptance. That's your receipt or purchase of what was provided. You're saying it. Glory to God. That's what happens. Whosoever shall say. So the saying part is where the challenge is, because now you have faith. If you have the faith of God, I have the faith of God. You shall say, you shall not doubt. How do I get to say? I must know. I have the faith of God. I must know how that faith works. How will I know? Comprehension. Supernatural word, comprehension. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 35. Matthew 12. Look at Jesus teaching. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth what? Good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what? Evil things. Can you see that? So listen carefully. A good man is known by the good treasure of his heart. He is a good man because there's good treasure in his heart. Who places the treasure there? God. The word treasure there is also the word deposit. There's a deposit of God in the heart of that man. So the man is going to bring out that deposit by saying, he says, a good man, now let's put it deposit, out of the good deposit of the heart brings forth what? Good things. The word before means to fling out. It's inside. It's not meant to stay inside. You are meant to fling out those things. How do you fling them out? You say them. When he's saying those things, he's busy fulfilling Philemon of verse 6. He's acknowledging every good thing, which is where? In him, in Christ Jesus. Health and abundance is mine. I suffer no lack. My life is preserved. My going forth is blessed. My coming is blessed. I have access to divine revelation. I walk in the visions of God. I'm not a stranger to leadings. I'm on familiar territory when God is speaking. I hear my Father's voice very loudly. I know to do his will at all times. I'm consecrated eternally to his purpose. Obedience is my lifestyle. You are drawing virtue because the treasure is already within you. Now your heart is learning from you how you ought to behave. The kind of conduct that we should see in you is coming forth by words. It's not by works. No believer changes by, you know, you go through stringent measures. You put in 11 commandments of success. That's good for career. Not for spiritual life. It doesn't work for spiritual life. Spiritual life, a believer's striving and prosperity begins when he begins to acknowledge every good thing. Christ has done the work. Now you acknowledge what he has done. He's done the work. You have no work to do. Romans chapter 10, we'll come back here. Romans chapter 10, quickly. And verse 4. Romans 10 verse 4. Again, so what it says, for Christ is the conclusion. Okay. Is the fulfillment of the law where righteousness is concerned to everyone that has believed. Once you have believed, Christ has fulfilled the law for you. The law, the conditions are already fulfilled. See what it says again. It says, for Moses describes righteousness that comes of the law. The man who does those things. So the man is the one doing. He's the one doing. He's the one busy fulfilling. He's the one busy walking. God is at rest. He is working. That's what the law produces. See what it says next verse. It says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaks in this manner. Don't say in your heart, who shall ascend? What does it mean to ascend? Who will do the work? Don't say that. Because once it's righteousness by faith, it is God's work. It's not your work. Hallelujah. See what it says? Who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Who will make God come down? That's what it means. Because God has come down by himself without asking you. You are only informed that he did it. Who will go to the deep to bring Christ up again? Do you have power to raise him up? No. Who raised him up? Who raised him up? God did. So it says, you are not to start looking for righteousness from there. Your righteousness begins in acknowledging. What are you meant to acknowledge? Look at next verse. It says, but what does it say? The word is already near ye in your mouth and your heart. That is the word of one. Faith, which we preach. What is the word of faith? The message that brings faith. What's the message that brings faith? The message that communicates to you the faithfulness of God. What's faithfulness? What he has already done. So believing is a function of accepting what has been done. Believing is not a function of accepting what he will do. No. It is what he has what done. The message of faith is a message that gives you faith because it conveys to you a revelation of God's faithfulness. God has been faithful. What has he done? He raised Jesus from the dead. What does that mean? Now you are justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. Forgiveness of sins, even redemption. Glory to God. So is it, that is the word of faith which we declare. So we are declaring a message. What are we declaring? God has been faithful. He's done this. You don't try to have faith. The message communicates what? Faith. That's how you received your faith. So the faith itself is a gift that came from the message. Glory to God. Yeah. And I used a natural illustration the other time. Because listen, you know, I think in banking systems, okay, how many people are bankers here? I know. It's only Mr. Debumi, I know. But your faith must not be a fixed deposit, though. Amen. It must be a current account. You understand? Always working. Forget COT. Always working. Fixed account again. No. It can't be fixed. It must be current. You are making withdrawals. You are putting in. Not saving. So, don't save it. It's for work. It meant to produce constant results. Say amen. It meant to constantly at use. Constantly working. Why would you be a storehouse of power? And we can't see any proof in your life. We should see proof consistently. You are God's storehouse. If you start getting results supernaturally, you become addicted to the power of God. And what a good addiction that is. Better than ganja. Hallelujah. Better. We if you start getting results. So all these trickles, you know, I don't trickles once in a while. Even a smart dog will find a bone once in a while. All these trickles, you know, I say, the last time you enjoyed God's power was last year, Holy Ghost meeting. Not even this year, last year, Holy Ghost meeting. And then you ask, how are you even living? I don't understand. Because if you walk in faith consistently, one of the things you'll notice also as a lifestyle is that you will find it difficult to murmur or to complain. I went for a trip last weekend. Wasn't last weekend? I think I went for a trip. I went for that trip. We went, Pastor T went with me. We went, we came back. It was shocking when I told him that when I got close to the house, the car started misbehaving. Did I complain? No, I gave God thanks. What did I see? I don't know what you saw. You saw a car misbehaving. I saw a car that could have misbehaved on the road that did not misbehave. My brake has failed before. He failed in front of the mechanics workshop. I'm never stranded. I don't know how you say, because you just come down, but there's always a way of escape. I took a car, went the car. When I slowed down to park because it was overheating, I had to stop it. Guess where it stopped? In front of Four Square Camp. Why not the bush? Where there's nobody that can find you. And then the gatemen came, they met me. And the gatemen just happened to know a mechanic. Who happened to know what to buy? Who went to buy it? And had a bike. He happened to have a bike. Got it. Went about two or three times. Got the right measurement of the belt, alternator belt. Fixed it. If anything about alternator, you know, once it's caught, the car is not going anywhere. That's what it should be. Just happened, and you think it's happenstance. No, no, no. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in godly orchestrations. By the mercy of God. You've got to learn to recognize that. God will do the best in the circumstance for you. He will do the best for you. Hallelujah. Somebody says, why? My constant confession, I cannot be stranded. I can never be stranded. I'm never without help. I have divine assistance at all times. My Father loves me. How do I know? He went so far, he went to the cross. He went beyond cross, he went to hell. He left there and said that if I stay here, you won't know. And I've done things. Let me show you how well. So he came out so he can show me he has gone as far as possible. I was still rejoicing when I saw him on the earth. When I said, you know what? Beyond that, let me show you treasure of heaven. Let's go up together. And he took me with me. He took me with him. Hallelujah. Pastor, he said, Pastor, so why are you here? So I can tell others how good he is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're seated together with him. The one you are praying to, you are seated together with him. Don't forget that. Stop creating distance in your mind. You kneel down. He's up. You are down. Mm-mm. You are together. It's beautiful fellowship. Glory to God. It's sweet fellowship. He wants to show you things. He wants to lead you in the way you ought to go. Romans chapter 10. Are you getting something this morning? So, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, notice the word is near thee in your mouth and in your heart. The word of God's faithfulness, which gives faith that we have been preaching. We're announcing what he has done. He says, if you would, verse 11, I say, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that Jesus is the Christ, you will believe in your heart that God has what? Raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. Next verse. For with the heart, man believes what? Unto what? Righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto. So the interaction of the word of faith is with the heart of man. It's a persuasion that comes to your heart by the word of faith. Then your mouth begins to declare, this is the reality. This has been done. Who gave you the faith to speak? The message brought that faith to you. We have that same spirit of faith according as it is written. What do? I believe, therefore, have I spoken. We also believe, and we therefore what? Speak. So if you believe, what will you do? You will speak. I have angelic assistance at all times. They cause good things to happen for me. They turn down the minds of men in my favor. Wherever I stand, God's mercy prevails. Glory to God. That's how a believer speaks. That's how you release your faith. A good man out of the good treasure, stored his heart, it will fling out good things. No wonder. Everywhere you look, the enemy is trying to put something in your mouth. And guess what? The way he can get something into your heart is also through your mouth. He's trying to make you hear something so that at least he can distort the flow of power. Because some things you will say, you just short-circuit the flow of God's power in your life. You get you to say it. So there are things coming through the airwaves every single day. You want to travel out of the country. Suddenly, federal government said they don't have paper. To bring passport. You're like, how ridiculous can that be? You don't have paper to bring passport. They say there is no date at the embassy. And when your father is working, he doesn't ask you whether you think there's no date. He asks you, do you want to go? Do you want to go? You want to go. That's what they ask you. So why is that news coming? So you can begin to say the wrong things. You can be discouraged. This country, I don't even know again. They're not giving anybody visa. Can you imagine? They're not giving anybody. Now, you didn't say they're not giving you. You're listening. They just generalize. If something is happening, people personalize. When it's bad, they now say, we are suffering. Let something happen to him. God has blessed me. He will personalize. When is something bad? It's now everybody. I told you, when I was in university back then, we did a particular course. My final year. Your final year is critical. Because if you fail anything, when we entered the exam, we prayed. The person that took us that particular lecture, that particular course, that, you know, when you enter the exam, you open the, you read it, you put it down. You pray in tongues. Because like you are reading Greek. No, you know when none of the question makes sense, you cannot remember anything about anything. So, some of us that were believers were laughing when we left the exam because somebody said he was looking around to see whether they gave me another paper different from the others. So when he noticed that everybody that were like, everybody just did the same, just put it down. So was afraid, said, okay, same paper. When we left the exam hall, you prayed in tongues. When I opened the paper again, I now started seeing what I could answer because it really looked strange. The minute we stepped out, people determine their fate when they step out. Why did man do us like this? We have failed. Oh my goodness. It's a wicked man, it's a sadist. Is this how somebody is going to have extra year? You have. See? And people don't even remember when they are doing it, too. It's almost unconscious. It's almost unconscious. What do you say? You are all free to fail. I've passed. You better say yours. It's not compulsory to go to South together. It's not compulsory. No, there's nothing that we're separate. We're not born together. It's separate. So you decide. When I stepped out, I began to say, it's a done deal. It's settled. I'm not staying back for any reason. I'm going to go. I will pass this exam. I will excel. Of course, I did. I'm here. Hallelujah. But because if for God's power to be in operation, you have to speak. You have to employ the right words. A good man, out of the good deposit of his heart, will fling out what? Good things. Even when it looks terrible. See, saying something that is terrible in a terrible way does not change anything. If it's thing you want, then you see the way God says to what? Say it. You have to learn to do that. Now you're working. You know, some people think that when it comes to career, God is not involved. No, he's involved. The Father grants me wisdom. I take the right decisions at work today. I declare I'm in favor with my bosses. And God's wisdom helps me to answer and tackle every situation. I'm in line for promotion. I'm not overlooked by those that matter. You have to learn to speak that way. You have to learn to. Instead of joining them to do VG against all enemies of your progress, and you are the chief enemy. You know, if you pray that prayer, I'm saying the wrong thing. Who should die first? Should it not be you? Never answered. Hold your head now. Lift up one leg. How will you be balanced? If you are looking at it, how does that add to your life? So God has shown you the easy way. And some people, when they are facing challenges, if you show them easy way, you know you have some people that them when they come to you, you can tell from their look. When you open the Bible, they will not listen. They just begin, okay. They begin, this man doesn't know what's happening to him. Me that I've dropped, I've sown seed in four ministries. Nothing has happened. He's not telling me that. The word of God says, he's not even asking for offering. And he says he has power. It's not power. You are talking to him, he's not going to. When you say, madam, I know it. I know where the problem is. You're going to fast for 7 days. The first 4 days, no water. The last 3 days, you can have water. Exactly 12. 1 minute past 12, it will not work. Exactly 12. What? You are going to pray for 1 hour. These are the things you are going to say. On the seventh day, there will be breakthrough. That's a promise. We didn't have breakthrough, we have breakthrough. What is the problem? The process. Their mind has told them, until you do, men like work. Rest in God's work? No. Where is labor? Labor to get revelation. Listen to teaching for 2 hours. 10 minutes they are dozing. But Z word, they will not doze. They will not doze. Seminar, 3 hours. What are we? What is it? What is it? What's the problem? What's the problem? What is it? 5 hours prayer meeting, 6 hours. That's extreme. It's okay. Then when problem comes, the same person that cannot pray for 6 hours now, he's gone to 7 mountains already. Had all the hours together. There's still no solution. He doesn't want to rest in God. Tell your neighbor, rest. Rest in the revelation of Christ. God has done everything. Walk in the reality of it. Our labor pauses. I labored more abundantly than the or what's born labor in prayer and in getting the message across. I need to let you know God has done great things for which He's made you an heir, a recipient. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have not received the spirit of bondage into fear, but the spirit of adoption by which you cry, what? Abba, Father. That's the spirit we have. That's the spirit of faith. He's also called the spirit of love. If you have the spirit of God, you have the spirit of faith. That's the spirit by which Jesus was raised from the dead. The spirit of faith is a personality that lives on your inside now. Romans 5:5, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is in us. It's also the spirit of love. Romans we just quoted now is the spirit of adoption. That spirit by which you were placed as a son. The spirit of the Son of God is the same. They are not different spirits. Same spirit is spoken of in the light of what the writer is referring to. When he talks about love, it's the spirit of love. It's the spirit of faith. It's the spirit of sonship. Same spirit. We have in that same spirit of faith according as it is what? Written. I believed. Therefore have I spoken. We also believe. We therefore what? Speak. So we believe. So we speak. My hands heal the sick. My mouth speaks comfort to the weary. I raise the dead by the power that's in the name of Jesus. You have to say it. You have to say it. You have to say it. You have to keep saying it. The good part is that you are now in charge of what you get to say. Never allow the word to give you what to say. God has given you enough to say in His word. He's giving you enough to say. So then this faith comes by hearing. And that hearing is about the word of Christ, the message of Christ, what He has done. That's how the faith comes. Say, faith has come. I have faith now. Glory to God. Faith has already come. You don't need more faith. Someone says, well, Pastor, the Bible says faith grows exceedingly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Sorry, chapter 1. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Look at what he's talking about. No. You will never see weak faith or strong faith used in the epistles. No. I shared with us in the past weeks. When you find it in the epistles, in the Gospels, Matthew chapter 14, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 14. Oh, ye, your little faith. Mark chapter 4. How is it that you have no faith? Matthew chapter 8, the centurion. I've not seen so great faith. Matthew chapter 15, the Syrophoenician woman. Oh woman, great is your faith. Those words were spoken concerning those who didn't have the oracles of God. That you didn't have the oracles and you could still demonstrate this. It's an adjective describing what they did. It would never, because we have the same faith. We have the same faith. So there's nothing your brother has that you don't have. There's no faith your pastor has that you don't have. Where we're different is in the grace of God that we carry to function in an office. But the faith is the same. The faith is the same. Hallelujah. The faith is the same. Where do you ask us to open to now? Yeah, see what it says. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith grows what? Exceedingly. You know, we've been taught that Cairo, the word and there is not a conjunction, it's an explanation. So what is your faith grows exceedingly? That is the love, that's charity, of every one of you all towards each other does what? Abounded. That's what he's talking about. Exceeding growing in faith is your love abounding. What does it mean for love to abound? We can see it. We can see it in your actions. The way you're taking care of fellow saints, it shows that your faith is growing. While you're abounding in love. And it's in all of Paul's epistles. In Ephesians 1 verse 14, 15, you see him saying, we heard of your love and faith. We heard of your love and faith. We heard about it. Colossians 1 is there. We heard of your love and faith, which you have towards all the saints. So, growing faith is seen in demonstrations of love. That's what he's talking about. He's not saying that your faith is growing from, no. It is a consciousness, a knowledge. And that's why, at the instance in which you have a new insight, have you noticed that at the time where the teaching of God's word comes to you and there's a revelation of how much God loves you is communicated, at that time something happens on your inside? How many of you have seen that? There's a stirring. At that time when you pray, why do you get answers? It's not because you can't get answers at that time, because you are excited at that time. Your faith is stirred up at that time. What was preached to you, how much God loves you, which has already been a reality. So it's revelation that stirs the faith on the inside. That's how you know what to say. That's how you know what to say. Glory to God. Second Peter, then we'll run up now. Second Peter, then chapter 1, from verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them. So he's writing to people, a group of people, a category of people. To them that have what? Obtained. They have obtained precious faith. So those who have obtained what? Like precious faith with us through the right doing of God. When you hear righteousness, it also means the right doing. Something God did that is right. The right doing of God. What's God's right doing? He raised Jesus from the dead. That's the right doing of God. We obtained it through the right doing of God. When he raised Jesus from the dead, that's where our faith came from. He says, righteous of God and our Savior, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. That's the epignosis, full comprehension of God that is of Jesus our Lord. So full comprehension of God is in Jesus. That's what he's saying. Look at the next verse. It says, according. So when I says grace and peace be multiplied through that knowledge, that's full comprehension. What are you meant to comprehend? You are meant to comprehend that his divine power has bestowed unto us all things that we need to live a life of godliness. And that bestower, the understanding of it comes through the knowledge of him. That's what called us to glory and what? Virtue. Peter, in two verses, uses epignosis twice. Full comprehension. There are things to comprehend. There are things to know. There are facts to grasp. When things are not working the way they ought to, or you're in a difficult situation, if you find yourself saying or thinking, maybe God has forsaken you, you don't know as you ought to know. You don't know how impossible it is for God to forsake you. It's too late for that to happen. It's too late. Do believers say things like that? Yes. When they are pressed, God, you are watching me as I'm suffering. He's not watching. It is what he's doing that you are not seeing. But he never watches his own suffer. He suffered too much to allow that to happen. That's why we pray for comprehension. You don't know as you ought to know. So it's not make-believe prayer. It's not, be faking it. Don't fake it. We're not saying we're going to pray and acting like nothing's wrong. No. We're saying you need more knowledge. You need more light. You need more understanding. You need to be exposed more to teaching of God's word until there's a persuasion in your heart at all times that no matter how terrible the situation is, God is a very present help, even in trouble. It's our refuge and our fortress, a very present help, a readily available help, even where in trouble. So that's why sometimes a believer paces. You know what I mean? You know what you need to pace? Sometimes you lock the door. If you're in the office, sometimes you need to go to the loo. You walk up and down. If you need to do tongues first, do tongues. When you are sufficiently calm on the inside, you begin to speak. Father, I thank you. Because you have loved me with an everlasting love. It's too late for you to fail me. So I look situations in the higher circumstances. And I see the lie in them. But I see the truth in you. I see that this will fall and I will prevail. I see that I'm more than a conqueror and I was born for such a time as this. I see that exploits in the name of Jesus prevails in all circumstances of life. I see that I've been giving all things apart into life and godliness. And your divine power is working through me. Therefore, I say to the storm, I say to the situation. That's how a believer behaves. When you are cornered. Because in truth, you really cannot be cornered. You're only cornered when you stop expressing faith. If you keep speaking, there is no force on the heart or in hell that can corner you. So even when you feel depressed and down, it's the best time to open your mouth and begin to speak. Yeah, you find yourself in a situation where it looks as though nothing is working. As in nothing. Absolutely nothing. But there's something working on your inside. Hallelujah. Like a dynamo. Churning out power. Churning out answers and solutions. Something on the inside. I must find expression. Is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Or you can what? Ask. This is the season to pace. This is the time to pace. You pace the floor. You speak out. You vent out. You are that good man. God has placed deposit on your inside. Let that deposit find expression. Wherever I go, the glory of God is manifest. Men are blessed. The work of my hands is accepted by many. That's how a righteous man speaks. You don't speak according to the economy or the government. You speak in line with what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. That means your heart must be full of those truths at all times. They're not for emergency situations. They are normal believers speaking. Every day. This is what I say. I have abundance. I have a full supply. Glory to God. I abound in sound health. And the time comes, even when your health, there are challenges. You just squander, your mouth has been schooled to say the right things so that no sickness that even comes can now stay. I'm telling you, because sickness will come, but it doesn't have to stay. That means you are one having the last laugh. Hallelujah. That means you have the last laugh. Yeah, you have the last laugh. You'll be surprised that many patriarchs of the faith, when I say patriarchs, I'm talking about patriarchs nowadays, not in Bible days. They faced the same challenges. They were in difficult situations. And they came out. Because faith never fails. Because it's rooted in an unfailing activity and reality. The resurrection of Jesus. Lift your hands this morning. And let's give praise to the Father. What He has done. Thank Him that from today you will appreciate in a greater measure what He has done for you. Thank Him that the year ahead is filled with the riches of His glory and kindness towards you. Thank Him. Ministry prospers and flourishes in your hands. Thank Him for the light that you have seen so far and the much more that you will step into. Thank Him for the understanding that you have received and you yet receive. Thank Him for the lives that be affected because of you. Thank you for the legacy that you are going to leave your children's children. Because of what the Father has wrought in you in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the realities for which you are a demonstrator of. You will never be stuck or stranded in life again. Never, ever, ever, ever. You will live the rest of your days in sound health. There's enough power to make your bones strong. To free your blood of sickness and disease. To free your body of ailments. Enough power to give you new organs where the old ones have failed. There's enough power to keep you standing. You give you a new heart. You can be well every single waking moment of your life. You can be strong. You can be inspired and comforted every single day of your life. And every single day, there's enough power to ensure you never lack any good thing. There's enough power to make sure that resources abound towards you in Christ Jesus. You have a full supply that you are never in lack. And the angels of God are working to supply and to provide in meeting your needs every single day. There is enough. Your Father loves you that much. He's gone that far. He's gone that far. He's gone that far. So it doesn't matter what the doctor says now. Whatever they say has come too late. Because the Father spoke before they ever spoke. And what He has said is your watchword. Is your watchword. The Father has the last say. Now you also have the last say. In the confessions upon your lips. Let it be so. Let it be so. Let the Father's words play out in your life. Let it play out in your life. Let his confidence be your confidence. Let it be your strength. You are assured of victories all week through. For the rest of the year, nothing but victories. Nothing but good news. Nothing but abundance. Nothing but sound health for you and your children. And your children's children. There's a legacy that he has given to you. The message of God's faithfulness in raising Jesus from the dead. You give it to your children's children. Generations unborn will benefit from God's faithfulness in your life. You are an eternal excellency and blessing in Christ Jesus. That's who you are. You are vital to God's plans. You are vital to his purposes. So you are never lost. No, you are never confused. No, you are never in the dark. No, you are never stranded. No, you are never without help. No, there's a full supply for you. There's enough available for you now at all times. His mighty hand is working in you and through you. No opposition can successfully stand before you, because the Father stands by you and stands with you. Christ is that eternal rock on your inside that causes you to prevail. Your voice will be heard. Your faith will work. Results will come without fail. This is your season. This is your season. This is your season. Lift your hands one more time and just give him thanks this morning. Father, we are grateful for the revelation of Christ. Oh, thank you for the victory of the Son. That's our victory. Thank you. Thank you.